Amen.
We open our Bibles this evening to Revelation chapter 15 and reading from verse 6 through verse 9. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was fulfilled. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we reverently, Lord, come before you this evening, believing, Father, that we are now approaching 1999. We believe that every 2,000 years something great has happened in this world. 2,000 years ago, your Son came forth, manifesting your word as ever it could be. And in this hour, 2,000 years later, you have come down again, indwelling a prophet and bringing forth a true expression, a true phaneroo, a true manifestation of who you are. Father, tonight I pray that you would bless the service, bless those who could come. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to enter into your Shekinah presence. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. I believe with all my heart that we're living in the end time, when the seven plagues, the plagues from God, will be brought forth upon man. And the reason they're brought forth is because man has rejected God's word, therefore rejecting God himself. Now, as always, I believe that nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens in such a quick instant of time. But that there's always a mercy going forth first, and then what follows is judgment. So the things which are beginning to envelope the world right now is not a matter of these things happening just overnight. The plagues which will really hit the world during the tribulation period are not just things which will all of a sudden start after the bride is gone. They're already starting now. The judgments are in the earth. Brother Branham said that. He threw the rock up into the air. When it came down, it started a little whirlwind. That whirlwind took off the tops of the little hills, little mountainous type hills around. In fact, for years, people used to go down to Tucson to collect these little triangular shaped pieces of rock that were chipped off of the mountains there. And when Brother Ram had thrown that rock up into the air, I talked to brothers that were there, Brother McHugh's and different ones. They said, Brother Ram said, hit the ground. And everybody dove down, and all of a sudden this whirlwind took off, and it began to take the tops of the mountains, and rocks were shattering every place, and then it went off toward the west. Brother Ram said, judgment will strike the west coast. And 2 days later, Alaska was almost destroyed by an earthquake. And years ago, I was trying to get a hold of that film. I'm still going to try to get a hold of it for you one day. But years ago, I saw the film, that different clips that were put together of that Alaskan earthquake. One man happened to be on a ship and had wrapped himself somehow around the pole on the ship. And the ship was in dry dock, or actually not dry dock, it was in dock. And when this big tidal wave came, first of all, when the earthquake came, all the water emptied out of the bay. And then all of a sudden, and this man had a camera, and he was locked in, and he was filming. And when this big tidal wave came, it just wiped out people on the docks, everything else. Threw his ship about 200-300 feet into the town. A couple years ago, Ron and I and Michael we visited Seward, which they said at the time had been, in 64, was one of the towns that was almost completely destroyed by that earthquake. It's funny how resilient man is to go back and to build in the same places where judgment is hit. Because look at what's happening in California. You get the big earthquakes, they just build again. They build right over the faults. It shows that they're sticking their nose up at God. But we are living in the end time. Now, tonight we're going to have a Bible study. And we're going to go over a number of quotes of Brother Branham about the plagues. But what I'd like to do is read a few more scriptures and then do a little diagramming to help you understand how these plagues come about. And by no means is this the final product, if you want to call it that, of our understanding. The Lord has just been opening my eyes to a lot of things recently, and even this part-time job that I have, this 3 days a week working for Children's Hospital, it puts me in touch not only with doctors, but with all the pharmaceutical agencies. And I have a chance to talk to regional managers with Merck, with Wyeth Letterly, and with Smith Klein Beecham, three of the largest manufacturers in the world. And what I can say, also we've seen other materials come, videotapes, whatever. I think some of you have seen the videotape emerging viruses, Ebola and HIV. Something like that, AIDS and Ebola. Also, there's a lot of books that have been available. And I've been saying since 1987, when I put that book in the back called The Great AIDS Cover-Up, just how this stuff has come about and how prolific it is. And yet, because AIDS itself has a 15 to 20-year incubation period, people just, think it's crazy. You talk to anybody in the world and they think, well, it's just, you can't get it. You got to have blood to blood. If someone has AIDS and they have a cut in their finger and they have a Band-Aid, well, it's okay to take the Band-Aid and just throw it in the regular garbage can. That's what they think. When you question them about it, they say, well, the only way you get AIDS from it is you put it in your mouth, suck on it or something, and then you'd have to have a sore in your mouth, they say. They're so stupid. Absolutely so stupid. Ignorant is the word. When they tried to push years ago in the schools that you couldn't get AIDS, it was very difficult to get AIDS, what happened? The amount of people getting AIDS went way up. Why? Because they teach them, hey, there's nothing to fear. You've got to have blood to blood. And they're so wrong. So deadly wrong. What did the first virus that ever came to the earth? How did it come? Something had to open up that injection into the human bloodstream. Right? Now think about this. What opened her up, put her in the atmosphere to receive an injection? Huh? The word, a wrong word, right? And I could diagram it for you, but I won't need to. I think you can picture in your mind well enough that in the beginning, we know there's the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. They're not two different books, but the one's a book within a book. In the beginning, you had the Lamb's book because you only had the life of God. But in the garden, something happened. As Brother Vail put it this way, he said, you have the stream of life coming down from God. But what happened was something we call it the serpent, interjected a pollution into the stream. So now you have this beautiful, clear stream, perfectly, genetically perfect, and now you've got an interjection into it. Now you've got a pollution entering it. Now, what is a virus? It's a life, right? Therefore, it's a demon. It's a perverted life. Brother Ram said, we call them demons. He said, the world calls them viruses. Now, how does that demon get into the people? What's the things that they said originally with AIDS? There's two groups of people that were the most susceptible. What were they? Gays and what? Huh? Drug addicts, yes, drug addicts. Gays and drug addicts. Now, what do both gays and drug addicts have in common? Evil. That's good. But I'll tell you what it is. You have a virus which enters into the body through an injection. Right? One is a needle and one is a piece, is part of a man. But it still has to enter in to the body like a needle, and it has to then inject into the body fluids which are filled with virus. Right? Now, how do you suppose Eve got a polluted life in her? She got vaccinated. Right? Now, I don't mean to be crude, but the serpent used his needle and injected her with a wrong life. And so now she got an inoculation that gave her the virus called serpent seed. Now, what did God say to them in the garden? He said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. That word eat is a Hebrew word which means to lay with. To lay with, to touch. He said, you shall not touch it, lest you die. And the word touch actually means to lay with a woman. So God, through the word, told them how to avoid death, because he said, the day you eat thereof, the day you touch, that's the day you're going to die. So he said there's another life out there which, if it's mingled with your life, produces what? Death. Death. Now, since 1990, there's been 188 cases of polio in the United States. 188. 188 of those cases are directly or indirectly related to vaccinations. People being vaccinated for polio. When the polio vaccine was introduced, we all thought it was a wonderful thing, but however, polio was on its way out. If you look at the curve, the bell curve, you see that polio was had a tremendously big dip, and it was on its way out when the vaccine was invented. And in the 1960s, there was they used to use simian, which is monkeys. They used to use monkeys, green monkeys or rhesus monkeys, to make the vaccines. Basically, how they make a vaccine, if you don't know, is that they inject the monkey with the disease. It gets into the bloodstream, it gets into its liver, it gets into his kidneys, and they take the liver out especially because that's the biggest pocket of the disease. And then they take it out and they cut it up into little thousands and thousands of little pieces. They mash it up real good. And then they put it in little culture dishes. And then they use, I'm not sure which amino acids, different acids, proteins and stuff, they use to culture that. And then, of course, it takes over and it multiplies and fills a dish. And then they take that and they inject those into little tubes. And then they put a little bit of solution. And that becomes your vaccine. And on theory says, well, if you get enough, just enough in there, that not too much, because if you get too much, you're going to get the virus. But if you get just enough, your T cells and your body will build up enough immunity to it that it'll go out and form a defense and destroy it. It's like you can sit and hear someone with some far-out idea about the scripture once in a while, and you've got the word to back it up, those T cells, Thiel cells, God cells, they come and demolish it. But when a person completely immerses themselves into false doctrine, it's going to take over and bring death. So it's the same principle. And this is what we want you to understand, is the principle behind it. So we see then that there's got to be something that's going to bring an end to mankind. Now back in the garden, God said, the day you eat thereof, that's the day you die. God told them what would bring the end to mankind. And it would be the mixing of the serpent life with God life, because it had to be God life, because when God breathed into Adam, the Bible tells us he breathed in the breath of lives. And God placed within Adam every seed of God that would come forth into manifestation. So we're looking at a virus now. How does a virus how is it that a virus can come in, and by what way does a virus take over the body? Because I'm trying to tie the natural and spiritual together to show you how the plagues are going to come down, because they're already started. Now, there takes a little thing called an enzyme. Anybody know what an enzyme is? Come on, we get a bunch of kids that have biology here. What is an enzyme? In the digestive system? Yeah, you've got enzymes. Okay, what does an enzyme do? It's made up of amino acids and different things. Proteins. It's a protein-like substance. Why would you have an amino acid? Why would you have the word acid applied to that? What is the amino acids? What do the enzymes in your stomach do? Sure. It breaks down the food, right? So, what science has done is they've developed an acid, an amino acid, or an enzyme. And remember, enzymes are protein-like. You look it up in the dictionary, Webster's, he'll tell you it's a protein-like substance which is used as a catalyst for the breaking down of or producing a chemical reaction. Now, as Brother Vell said many times, he said, you know, because they found this little rock and it had some type of protein substance on it that came from Mars, supposedly, or from the moon, they thought perhaps that there must have been life on the moon at one time because there's protein. Well, the fact is that, you know, science has proven that you can't have life without having protein. So protein is an essential building block for life. It doesn't necessarily mean you have life, because you have protein. But you can't have life without protein, except for in the spiritual realm. But in the manifestation realm, you've got to have protein. So what you're looking at then is amino acid is a protein-like substance. And what it does is it actually gets in, and if you've seen the film, you'll know that what they describe, this isn't actually what it looks like, but this is the best definition they can come up with. If you can think of a gear, a round circle with a lot of little cuts in it, like look at my fingers, you've got a cut here, a cut there, a cut there. Now that's your DNA. Now in the DNA, what you've got is it has it's a strand, comes down, and it's got little balls, we'll call it, little bubbles on this DNA. Each of those is a genetic code in the system. Well, what the enzyme does, the protein-like substance, it'll go in and say they want to gene splice. They want to get in and change what that gene is all about. So what they will do is they will direct the enzyme toward a specific part of the DNA. Now, not every fiber of your body has DNA. See? DNA is the dinucleic acid. It is the building block. It is the little factory in your body that produces other cells. Your body is made up of RNA, which is ribonucleic acid. Notice acid is in there. So you've got this proteins, RNA, ribonucleic acid. I'm not trying to be a professor up here. I'm just trying to help you to understand. You've got the RNA, which your body needs. But you've got only so many DNA cells within your body that will produce RNA. But what the AIDS virus does is because it is a RNA, it is a protein-like substance, it is an enzyme of a sort, but it's a life, really, it's a devil, is what it is, in a manifested form. It will go in and it will attach itself to one of these, it'll attach itself to one of the little gears, we'll call it. Now, it works itself because of the acids, it works its way into a cataclysmic mutation, forms itself to the DNA, and now, whenever the DNA produces, because this is an RNA, and this produces RNA, it's now producing this, it doesn't reject this, so now this is part of it, now it's producing a new cell with the virus in it. That's why it takes, in that case, 15 years. But in Ebola, it takes about 2 weeks. 9 days to 15 days. Now think about this. What does a sperm do to the egg? It penetrates, right? It joins, and what becomes part of that egg is purely the semen is purely protein, high in protein, and the little spermatozoa itself is a carrier. It's a seed. It's a carrier of a germ. It is a germ. It's a carrier of life. Brother Branham, brother, sister, the language he used was so tremendous. He brought it back to the germ because that brings you back to the garden. Thy seed shall bruise his head, and his seed will bruise your heel, or his heel, your seed's heel. So what happened in the garden? An enzyme was injected, semen, spermatozoa, into the woman. It linked up with an egg that was a seed within her and produced serpent seed. What is serpent seed? It is ordained death. What is Ebola? Ordained death. What is HIV? Ordained death. Therefore, when Brother Vail said that I can take and show you by Scripture that you have within you right now all the elements to have AIDS within your body, and it just takes a certain act to bring it on, to bring it forth,
He's right.
You know that book, Peter, you read called The Carrier? Even though it was a fiction book, yet scientifically it's very accurate. Very accurate. And the book happens to tell about some gene splicing that went on about 9 years ago. They were trying out theories, and they happened to implant this gene splicing into a woman who couldn't have children because she had a malformity in her genetic code that would produce death. Well, they tried to fix it. But what happened as a result is that she bore twins, and the twins, although immune to the disease itself, were walking factories. And anybody that came in contact had something come to them which was worse than Ebola. Worse than Ebola. Now, though the story itself is fictitious, yet there's a lot of truth to it. Because man is dealing in gene splicing. Brother Branham said they can create all the protein, they can put all the thing together to have a blade of grass, but they can't give it life. They can't give it life. So they can create the atmosphere, but they've got to get the life someplace. What is a vaccine? They're creating the atmosphere, but they have to produce, they have to get that death, you know, that polio or that smallpox or whatever that virus is, they have to get it from some things already infected. And then they infect the monkeys, the simian. And then from there, they make their cultures and they produce all the right materials so that it'll work. So if we all, because of the mix, because remember, Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect. If we all have within us death lying in these bodies, who can deliver me from the body of what? This death. Then it takes a catalyst of some sort to produce in you that death. That's why Brother Brown said, you young kids, he says, you shouldn't even kiss before you're married, because there's one person who's ordained for you. Every time you pass body fluids, you're passing genetic code, genetic alteration possibilities. And what you're bringing yourself, like Brother Brown said, there's an impression that she makes. It's almost like circuitry. And he said, no other woman will make that impression, or that impression will be. So when you break that code, ordained code, what you're doing is you're transferring death. Man gets with man, he passes his chemicals. What is it doing? That enzyme enters the body and it produces within that body, because what does the chemical do? What does the enzyme do? It's an acid, an amino acid. What does it do? Protein. What does it do? It tears down and opens up and releases death. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. We should probably save this for one of our Romans series, but we're still in this, so let's just look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness, nor does incorrect thinking of men who suppress or hold down or hold back the truth in unrighteousness. So what we're going to see coming up here in the scripture now is those who use the word wrongly, hold back the word, or don't use the word as it was meant to be used. Now, what was the word that was given to Eve? In that day that you do thereof, that day you'll die. Right? How did the serpent hold down the truth?
He said, thou shalt what?
Not surely die. What did he do? You know, this should have keyed her to one thing. What did he do? He added
what?
One word.
Now remember, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Right? So if you add just one little word, you're adding one little germ of life. You see it? Let's go to
verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, let's read verse 18. For I testify that every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the what? Plagues that are written in this book. How are you going to get the plagues? By adding to the word. How did Eve get the death in her body? One word, not. She received one word over God's word. God said, thou shalt surely die. The serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt not, add one word, surely die. She got injected then. Her mind got injected first. Then the serpent, after opening his mouth and injecting, then he injected with another part of his body and got her pregnant. His little needle, I call it. And inoculated her with death. First in her mind. And if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Therefore, the word, what we do with the word has everything to do with whether you receive the plagues or not. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 16. And we'll read verse 9, 21. And men were scorched, and with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not, they changed not their thinking to give him glory. It's pretty strong. What about verse 21? And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. Let's go to chapter 18. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Her plagues. Her plagues. Well, who was the her? The mother harlot. Why did she have plagues? Because she had another word, another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. What's bringing on the plagues? Another. They've gone beyond the truth. That's why it's so important, as Brother Brown said, only say what the tapes say. Only say what he said. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't take it and use your own words to express it, but you better know what you're talking about if you're going to try to express it. Notice verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So who brings the plagues? What's the Lord doing to her? Judging. So who brings the plagues? The one who judges is called what? The judge. So the judge brings forth the plagues. Now, has the judge come? What do we find over here in James the fifth chapter. Verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the presence, so the parousia of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And who is the judge? Brother Branham said, who was standing at the door knocking? The Word. Jesus said in John 12 and 48, he said, the Word, he said,
let me just read it for you because I don't want to misquote it. But basically, what he said in so many words was, he said, the words that I speak, they will judge.
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
John 12:48.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Now, if the Lord, by his word, through his word, if the word judges, and he said if you add to that word, you get the plagues, and isn't the plagues the judgment of God? Isn't AIDS the judgment of God? Isn't Ebola the judgment of God? And things that will be much worse even?
I can't imagine anything worse than Ebola. But I'm sure there is. I'm sure it's in store.
Because we go to Zechariah chapter 14. Right before Malachi. In verse 12, we read, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.
Now, how many know what took place in Hong Kong this week? Hey, they had to kill 1 million chickens and geese and ducks. Why? Because of a rotavirus. A rotavirus is a virus that works on your GI tract. They call it the flu, but it's a virus. It's the devil.
And it gets into people, and basically it so inflames their innards that their insides turn outside. 4 people died.
You know, we think tuberculosis is a bad thing. And it is. Brother Branham said that there was actually a man who had died. I think there was at least 5, possibly 7 people that had died. Brother Branham prayed for, they came back. I don't know if you ever heard the story where the man had tuberculosis. Brother Ram went in to pray for him. Brother Ram said the man had coughed so hard that his entrails came out his mouth. And you know what that prophet did? I think he went in there with surgical gloves on, a mask. He said, I laid my mouth on his mouth, my hands on his hands like Elijah. And I prayed for the man. And God restored him back to life. He said when his little daughter was dying of meningitis, I think it was, or tuberculosis, he said the doctor said, we can't let you go in there. He said, we need to inoculate you first. He said, I don't need an inoculation. We're going to listen to a couple quotes tonight where Brother Branham said the same thing. He says, look, in order to go, the government wouldn't let me in unless I took the yellow fever shots and stuff. But he said, I don't need them. And if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need him. Because what is a virus? It's a devil. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You see, we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is a serum. It's an inoculation against all these things. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, 10,000 may die at your right, 1,000 at your left, but it will not come nigh you. That's why if anybody's going to be a nurse or a doctor, it should be someone who's in this message, who believes this message and is filled with the Holy Spirit, because you don't have to worry if you get somebody's blood on you. You don't have to worry if somebody's coughs on you, sneezes on you. That devil can't take what's in you. Now, it doesn't mean that you should go out and say, well, since I've got the Holy Spirit, I can go out and be a homosexual and everything else.
You don't got the Holy Spirit then.
See? Because God's Word speaks against it.
We find in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues." A vial full of plagues. What does a vial look like? Right. Peter got it. I buy vaccines now for the doctors. I negotiate their contracts. A lot of things they buy are 5 milliliter vials, 50 milliliter or 10 milliliter, depending on how much of the serum is needed. But notice, the plagues are contained in vials. You know, in Revelation 18, it talks about sorcerers. You know what that word sorcerer is? Pharmaceutical. Pharmacist. It's from the Greek word for pharmacy. Pharmaceutical. You know how the pharmaceutical, you know how our government, you know, we hear all these things. It's one thing I didn't agree with on this video that we watched was the guy thinks it's all conspiracy. It is to a degree where Brother Brown said the nations are breeding germ warfare. But the fact that people got injected, a lot of them, with the wrong stuff was by accident. You know, a company like Merck or Smith Kline Beecham or Wyeth Letter, any of these companies, they aren't in business to produce bad serum so that they can purposely inoculate the world with viruses. They're in business to help. They're in business to make money. And they think that they can help. So it's not that they're deliberately, just like the Catholic or the Lutheran or the Baptist or the Pentecostal, are not deliberately out there trying to fight God. They think that they're doing what's right. But it all boils down to money. Money, money, money. And our governmental officials, you know, the problem we have is we elect people into office who know nothing about, and they appoint people into positions, and those people know nothing about hygiene. They know nothing about their field. We had a woman in the White House as a Surgeon General who believed that it was okay for kids even 5 years old, 12 years old, to have intercourse. And that they should teach certain acts to young boys. And that they should pass out condoms at the age of 12. And if you ever heard the woman talk, she was about as ignorant as a doorpost. In fact, a doorpost probably has a little bit more insight than this woman. She's absolutely one of the stupidest people I've ever... Stupid, dumb. I can't express in words enough things to say what I feel about the woman. She was absolutely ignorant. And yet she was placed in a position of authority. And when you get people like that running your health programs, who absolutely don't know, but
all they can do is repeat what they've been told, then it opens up the door for all kinds of things. Exactly like the churches. You have the pulpits are filled.
Brother Brown said it's not
juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency. And it comes back to the pulpits.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Here is this seventh angel who has a seven vials, and yet he is going to introduce the bride of Christ. Now, who is the seventh angel? Well, you want to say William Brown? No. He was the earthly messenger. But the seventh angel that came down was the Lord himself. And he had seven vials full of seven plagues. And the last plague, Brother Brown said, was spiritual death. We've already seen the last plague. So that means the other plagues have got to be in the earth. And we saw in Zechariah the plagues, the people's bodies will just rot while they stand there. Now, it all depends on degree. Because we have AIDS, it's 15-year to 20-year incubation. But what happens? The body rots. The defenses in the body no longer defend. And they're susceptible to colds. A cold will kill them. It'll turn to pneumonia like that. See? Now let's go back to Romans. Notice, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The Lord himself descended from heaven. See with the shout. For the wrath of God is revealed, manifested, from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men who hold back the truth in unright wiseness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How did God show it unto them? That word show is the word phaneru. And you remember a few years back we did our study on the word phaneru. It means to manifest in its true character. So as Brother Bell said, this could not have come. These things which follow could not have come until God had fully manifested himself. That's this hour. Therefore, the seventh angel that had seven vials full of the seven plagues had to come and manifest himself. When they rejected what he had to say, it allowed then for the enzyme to come and to bring forth a catalyst in their body. Therefore, the light of God, and remember, the angel of the Lord is encamped about those who fear him. But he's not encamped about the others. And the angel of the Lord, if you want to know where his presence is at, it's called the Shekinah, the pillar of fire. And we know that light, laser technology, can go in and earmark and kill virus. Therefore, in the light of God is health, healing, deliverance, like we talked about the other day, safety, security. But in the darkness is where the cockroaches and all these other things come forth. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed, had manifested itself unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen,
being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
So they reject Godhead. What happens? Now, how do they reject Godhead? Well, remember, it says they withhold the truth.
Right? Does that mean they've taken away? How did Jannes and Jambres withhold the truth? How did they reject, withstand? How did they withstand Moses? They added to. They said, we can do it also. And what did it produce? Plagues. Right? You see? The same thing. First Exodus, last Exodus. Now, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What's a creeping thing? Don't enzymes and viruses creep? Aren't they considered? You go into Genesis, the book of Genesis, you'll find that God gave man dominion over everything that creepeth. And what's man doing with his knowledge? He's splicing. Notice, wherefore, because they turned on God, wherefore God hath give to them, God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, their own understanding, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Not righteous with an unrighteous, but between unrighteous and unrighteous. Who substituted, that word change is substituted, what does the word substitute mean? It mean take away, or does it mean to add to? Huh? Yeah, to substitute. So, if I just take away, if I don't want peas on my plate, and I just say I don't want them, is that substituting? No. So if I'm substituting, what am I doing? I'm adding something different, right? So, to substitute means to add. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, the greatest lie is 1% lie, 99% truth. Like Brother Brown said, a lie is nothing but the truth perverted. So we're talking about a perverted truth. And they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. What's vile? Well, think about it. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Women with women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and notice, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Receiving in themselves that recompense or that reward for their error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What? Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, that's why they're disobedient to parents. That's why they're fornicators. That's why they're backbiters. That's why they're haters. That's because they don't understand. Like Brother Branham said, they don't believe that it's God. They don't believe when God says to do something, they don't believe it's God. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. How does death come into the body? By rejecting your defense, the Word. It opens you up to circumstances, being in the places where you shouldn't be, associating with the people you shouldn't associate with. Those people that were in Goshen that went out from the protection of the blood that was on the lintel in the sign of the cross, they could and did receive the plagues. That's why the first thing, brother, sister, is in your mind. To reject the Word, to turn down the Word, will only leave one thing, and that is opens you up for tribulation, for plagues. Now tonight we're going to change the order of the service, and if we could have some of the brothers, let's put this bench here back, and then if we bring the chairs around, let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer before. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you for this Word, and I hope that, Lord, it helps us to understand. Because when we can see in the natural, Lord, the viruses, and knowing that it's a life, and knowing that it's a life that interposes itself upon another life, we find the same thing, Lord, in the spiritual realm. A demon is nothing but a virus. A virus is nothing but a demon. It's a life that is not wanted. It's a life that interposes itself and pollutes the life stream of that which it enters. And knowing that since the garden, there lays within us the body of this death, all it takes then is something to come in like a catalyst. Like in that book on carriers, it said the girls had to come into contact with some pollen, something that set it off. And we find the thing that opens them up to it was the wrong word. And we find the same thing in this hour. And we realize, Father, we're living at the end of all time. And absolutely, Father, it's a wonderful thing to watch, even though it's death setting in. But it's death to them, but it's life to us. And Father, I get so excited when I hear the voice of your prophet telling us these things, because science doesn't even have them figured out yet. They're only beginning now to understand some of these things, but yet, because of the evil hearts of these men, they're trying to use these things for control purposes. But we know, Father, that you have come and you are our control tower. Lord, we believe that you have come to guide, to gather, to feed, to protect, especially protect in this hour, and to take us home. And Father, we're willing and wanting. We're looking for the resurrection, Father, at any time. And I believe one of these nights, Father, or one of these days, your true believers will be here assembled together. And the resurrection will be on. Your prophet will be back on the scene. We'll meet him. We'll meet John Wesley, Martin Luther. We'll meet the Apostle Paul. And we'll receive a change in this body. And we'll no longer have, because you said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. And that's where the death crept in, was into the flesh, into the blood. The bloodstream has been polluted. But we won't have a bloodstream over there. I don't know what we'll have, Father. Hopefully it'll be a word stream. Hallelujah. Your word flowing through every fiber of our body, taking over. That's what I want. And so, Lord, I'm willing to leave the body this death. And I'm willing, Father, to have your word. As you said, when word is piled upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of the body. And I want every fiber of my body, Lord, to be one with your word. And I pray that all of these here that are assembled, Lord, tonight would have that same desire, for I ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we have, if some of your brothers could, we have the chairs back here, and I'll try to get things set up so we can, the next order of service, what we're going to do now is just have a discussion on these things. And I've got some quotes we're going to hand out, and some things Brother Branham has to say.